Want to thank John for song service this morning. Like to, on behalf of the church, welcome all here. Those who are visiting with us, we appreciate seeing some visitors we haven't seen for a while. We're glad that you could be with us today. And as has been mentioned in the announcements, we have several out. Need to continue to remember them in our prayers. I really, and I say this as kind as I can, I really hope all of us this morning was listening to what Drum said in his words before the serving of our Lord's Supper. The importance of doing what we do in the name of serving God publicly in the assembly, and of course this would cover our entire life, but especially what we do in the name of the Lord by his authority. If we really are looking and hearing and really believing that, we really need to practice, preach, teach, sing, believe, pray in silence, pray publicly, whatever is going on, we need to be able to have a book, chapter, and verse to back us up, the authority to do it. And I appreciated what he said. I know sometimes we say, oh, well, we all know this in the churches of Christ. Well, no, we don't all know it, because if we certainly all know it, some of the departures from the pattern and the faith would not have occurred. It's from within God's people, the local churches of Christ, that these problems began. It was not the outside. The outside influences us, but it was departures from within. That's what the apostasy begins. No apostasy ever began from the outside influencing the inside. It was the inside and the corruption of not following Scripture. So thank you, John, for that. Just a couple of quick things. I forgot to mention to Ken in his announcements. Now, Rob Miller is going to be conducting Bible classes. The men have chose to have him do a 2:30 Sunday afternoon Bible class for the remainder of the Sundays he's coming in. So next Sunday, when we adjourn from worship, we'll gather back here for a 2:30 Bible class. Now, this will be a Bible class. The Lord's Supper will not be served. This will not be a, for lack of a better word, an assembly in that respect, but it will be a Bible class he'll conduct at 2:30 here. So I wanna make sure everyone is aware that we're gonna come back Sunday. This is next Sunday only. Then 2 weeks later when he comes, we'll do the same thing. 2:30 for that Sunday, then the one time in May, and I guess the one time in June, or if it corresponds to with him coming at the end of June for the entire family to relocate. So please make sure we're making arrangements for next Sunday to be back here for Bible class only. There will be no sermon, as the word is used, no serving of the Lord's Supper. This is what the men chose to do in our last men's meeting for Rob to have for the congregation. Again, it's good to see everyone here this day. I want us to consider the lesson, and thank you, Brother Dave, for your scripture reading. The lesson is entitled, Becoming as Little Children. Becoming as Little Children. Now, we have a lot of children here now. We have a lot of little children, and I guess middle-aged children, that's good, and older children. That's what we have here now in this big room while we're meeting here. But I want us to talk about us older children, those of our number here now who have, if you will, grown up, who have physically aged, certainly physically aged, and the instructions from God's word on the importance of you and I becoming like little children. Now, let me say a couple of things here. Our little children now who are in this room right now, if God allows you to grow up, you, little children, and you may not understand these words, but you little children now, if God allows you to grow up, the time will come in your life again where you will need to look at yourself in the mirror and become like little children again. Now, in a very late at night conversation Jesus had with a man named Nicodemus, talking about being born again, Nicodemus didn't understand. He asked an innocent question. How can I be born again? How can I enter into my mother's womb and be born again that way? He didn't understand the spiritual application. Jesus had to explain it to him. But I want us to consider that we must become like little children. And for us to become like little children, those of us who are Christians, we had to become, if you will, born again. We were born of the water and spirit, and yes, that's biblical. There's nothing wrong with saying born of the water and the spirit, okay? And we need to understand that as children of God, after being born again, we need to maintain a spirit of childlikeness in our Heavenly Father's image. An argument started with the disciples. They were arguing amongst themselves, and this wasn't the first time this was argued and discussed by these men, and it wouldn't be the last time. Hours before Jesus was put to death, they were arguing, and he observed and listened to them about who would be the greatest. Is it I? Well, what about me? Well, they were arguing, they were discussing again who would be the greatest among them. And Jesus Christ, reading their hearts, knowing what was in their minds, took a little child. Some of your translations may say that little child stood by Jesus. Some would say Jesus seated that child. This was an older child. I don't know how old. And by the way, there are two other places in the scriptures, both in Mark and Luke, where infants, little babies were brought to Jesus by their parents to have Jesus touch them and bless them. And I've always felt those were such beautiful scenes to imagine my Lord, your Lord, holding a child to his chest, blessing, talking to those around him, the parents. Who knows what he might have talked about to those parents? Maybe he was telling the parents the importance of bringing these children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But here the children are a little bit older here, and Jesus seats one of them by him. And I think it's important that we look at the in light of what Matthew 18:3 says. In Matthew 18:3, at that time the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Then he called a child to him. So Jesus called the child to him. You can't call an infant to you. You can call an infant, but that infant's going to look at you, have no clue what you're talking about. But he called in Matthew 18:3 a child to him, and he had that child stand among them, and he said, "Unless you are converted," he's talking to disciples now. He's not talking to this little child. Okay, so let's get rid of the infant baptism. Let's get rid of the notions about baptizing little guys, okay? It's not what Jesus is teaching. Never taught this. Never one example in the entire scriptures of an infant being baptized. And he goes ahead and he tells those around him, his disciples and those of us who are older that were there with him. He said, "Unless you are converted and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child, this one is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." He didn't say, unless you are converted and changed. Now, remember that word converted. Unless you are changed and become like a little child, you're going to have a hard time getting in there. He didn't say that. He said, unless you become like this little child here, you will never come into the kingdom. Okay, so right there, it should scare us a little bit, us older kids, if you will, that we had better be maintaining this idea of being childlike on a daily basis. And by the way, just quickly, let me throw this in. We are little children. We have a Heavenly Father. And if we're going to cry to him, Abba, Father, I mean, the importance, little children, we're going to look at this in a moment. Little children love to please their parents. Little children depend so much on their mom and dad. Why aren't you and I doing more to please our Heavenly Father? Aren't we happy in his presence? Don't we want to just knock ourselves silly to be what he wants us to be, to do what he wants us to do? Do. No fewer than 33 times in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, no fewer than 33 times in the Gospels is the word child appear. 54 times in the entire New Testament. And that word children is used with various usages. It appears another 131 times. This reference to children in the gospel seemed to always be showing them to be the standard that we are judged by. Now, did you hear this, friends? That's right. Look at those little guys around you. It is that standard that we're going to be judged like. That's what we owe children. Okay, we're going to be judged by our Heavenly Father by a standard. Now, our standard is God's word, but in God's word, it shows us that we've got to become like little children. Why is this? Why is it so important that children should take, that we should be looking at the attributes and wanting to become like them? Most of, you know, children, when they get to a certain age, it's like, I can't wait till I get grown up. I can't wait till I can do this, I can do that. I'm tired of being a child. I remember John Boy, on one of the Walton episodes, I think it was the holiday special, and he's got all these siblings and he's having to take care of them, and he just kind of yells out to his mom and says, well, I'm tired of being the oldest. And Mama Walton said, well, there's nothing I can really do about that. So we all know that children will get to a certain age where they're going to be wanting to be grown up. I mean, they can't wait till they can be older. Well, trust me, you little guys, a time will come when you have grown up and you will maybe be wishing for those days again. But let's go ahead and just look, if you will, at some of the characteristics of a child. Now, children come into this world with nothing. They come into this world with nothing. They have no, now listen, and I if you need to copy these down, go ahead, or I can get them for you. Children come into this world with nothing. This is not a conclusive list, but here's several that I've come up with, 12 of them. They don't come into this world with any preconceived notions. Absolutely no preconceived notions. No preconceived ideas. There's no agenda when they come into this world. They come into this world with no prejudices. No prejudices. Ah, the age of innocence. They come into this world with no possessions. Now, they have a soul. They've been made in the image of their God, but I'm talking about these other things. They have no possessions. They came into this world, believe it or not, with no expectations. They didn't come into this world wondering, I wonder if mom and dad's going to love me. No, they didn't. They didn't come into this world with that. So they came in with no expectations, no self-reliance. The little children aren't going around saying, you know, I've got to rely on my mom and dad. Or better yet, I'll do it my way. Now, children, you know, as they get older, they tend to let mom and dad know that their way's better, that they really have all the answers, that parents should just be quiet and listen to them. And it's usually in short order that they find out that, you know, I guess mom and dad, they do know more than I do. They really do have more going, and I need to listen to them. Children don't come into this world. Listen, folks, they come into this world with no sin. And you don't be afraid to tell your religious neighbors, especially those Catholics and those who believe in this idea of original sin, don't be afraid to let them know it's not biblical. How dare you say a sweet, innocent child comes into this world with sin? They don't know anything. They don't come in here with a lick of intelligence. Here's what they come in with, a pure heart. Children are forgiving as they grow older. You slight one of them, you hurt one of them, they are forgiving. Something we're going to look at in a moment of importance before God, that we are converted and become like that. Children come into this world and they're dependent. They need mom and dad. We can even see in the animal kingdom how animals need their parents. Children come into this world, they're happy and they're joyful. And what a shame that it doesn't take very long in many cases for children to lose that because of the environment that they are placed in, being raised in a home where there's no love, where God's not a part of that family, where a mom and dad don't love each other, don't love their children. And they are not happy and joyful, but they come into the world that way. Children come into this world and they rely on others for their security and their needs. It could be 6,000, 7,000 diapers later. Who knows what it is? They have independence. Once we enter the Christian life, we continue to rely on Christ. That's you and I. We need to continue to rely on him. In Job chapter 24, the great wise sage in 24 chapter of Job, verse 24, he says, he gives them security and they rely on it, yet his eyes are on their ways. Children begin to grow at birth. We enter Christ as babes. A baby crawls, then walks. Newborn babies desire milk. We don't give a piece of pizza, I hope we don't, to a newborn. Now, by the time that child's a little older and he's wanting some solid food, he may even like a piece of pizza. But you know what? As children of God, in 1 Peter 2:2, it says, as newborn babies desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Baby Christians. Physically speaking, little children, they lay there, then they start rolling over, then they start crawling, then they start pulling themselves up, then they walk. No child, a week after they were born, started walking around. It doesn't work that way. No Christian, you and I, will get to a point where we are on strong, solid food and we are told we had better get to that point. None of us will be there until we've started out on the pure milk of the word. In 2 Peter 3:18, Peter says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There may be some awkwardness when a child walks. You ever see a little child when they first start walking, they're kind of shuffle around and they fall down. They get back up and they kind of teeter around. They fall back down. So there's a little awkwardness there. Well, there's a little awkwardness in you and I when we first walk with the Lord. Remember this idea of unless you become converted or changed, it doesn't happen overnight. The Holy Spirit don't zap you and I and make you and I a full-grown, developed Christian. But desiring the milk of the word and growing in the knowledge and grace of the Lord will produce that. You know, all of us in this room, adults I'm speaking of now, we've seen commercials on TV of human suffering. I can tell you some horror stories, and I won't, but I'll tell you, I've been to places where all you had to hear were children screaming and crying for various reasons. Physical pain, parents were dead, they were alone. And I'll tell you, and I've said this before, to me, music to my ears is hearing the laughter and giggling of little children. One of the most beautiful things that I can think of is to hear innocent children at play laughing and giggling. Because I'll tell you, when you've been to some places, and some of us have been to these places, we've known of situations, even in this own country of ours, where we watched it on TV, and you hear children cry and scream, and that they're wanting to be held, and there's not enough men and women to pick them up and hold them. And, you know, you those things stay with you. And you know, we realize that. Children delight in bringing about happiness to their parents. You know, children really want to bring happiness to their parents. All of us, we have little children now, and we've had children we've raised. Think about those days, and those who are grandparents, think about those days. Children love to please their parents. They love to make them happy. Paul in Philippians 3:16 says, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind, okay? We're striving to what? Walk to please our Father. Our little children toddling around, jumping on our laps, falling asleep on our laps, sitting by us watching TV, whatever they're doing, they enjoy that. They want to be with their mom and dad. They want to make them happy. Do you and I want to make our Father happy? Do you and I want to walk that straight and narrow and strive to please Him? Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, not by sight. We've all heard the story about the little child who has stood on the table. And daddy comes up and he says, go ahead, jump. And that child may look down and that child may start to quiver a little bit. But you know what? That child's not walking by sight. That child and any child doesn't have what? a clue 100% in the abstract that dad's going to save him. Dad's going to catch him when he falls. But they believe their daddy won't let him or her get hurt. They put their faith and trust that daddy's going to catch me and keep me from falling and hurting myself on the floor. How many of us practice what Paul just quoted, wrote in 2 Corinthians, walking by faith, not by sight? Children also want to walk around in their parents' footsteps. We've all seen children, you know, little boys putting daddy's shoes on, walking around, maybe putting a coat and hat on, walking around, trying to act like and look like daddy. And maybe the little girl's doing the same for their mom. But you know, Ephesians 5:1, Paul says, walk in love and be imitators of God as dear children. The little children of you and I are speaking about our little children, our grandchildren, our neighbor's children. They want to maybe play house. They want to maybe play like mom and dad. So they put shoes on, and you can see the little guy walking around. He's got his dad's hat on. It's covering his head. And he's got his jacket or coat on, and he's dragging it behind him 10 feet. He's got those shoes, and his feet slide back and forth in those big shoes of their daddies or moms. But you know what? Paul says to you and I, part of this conversion process, be imitators of me. I'm your heavenly Father. This is God through Paul talking. Walk in love, be imitators of God as dear children. Paul is reminding you and I, we're dear children. Now let me say this. Don't get loose with your tongue and think of him as daddy. The Father of our spirits and our Creator is not our daddy, but he is our Heavenly Father, and we are his children. Okay? And I know that in Hebrews, Jesus is referred to as the older brother, okay? But we're not his kids, sisters, or brothers. We're his servants. And if we look at the context of Jesus being referred to as the older brother of the house, it has nothing to do with what some of us would jump to the conclusions of. Something else that children have, they have pure expectations. Children will go ahead and plaster their face to the window of the house, and they will be looking and watching for the arrival of dad or mom. And when they see, I watched a video the other day of a little child sitting in the front seat with his mom in the car, waiting for daddy to come home, and that child saw that car pull into the driveway, and that child, that little girl knew that was her daddy coming, and she just was ecstatic. She just was jumping all over the place. She was excited. She had expectations. She couldn't wait till her daddy got home. Well, are we anxious for a face-to-face encounter with our Heavenly Father? Are we looking forward to seeing God? Paul and Peter both say that we need to be holy, for one who is not holy will not see God. But do we have that expectation? Do we really desire as children to see our Heavenly Father? Children love because they have been loved. You know, when you hurt a child and they get hurt by things their parents say and do, isn't it just a short amount of time until that child's forgotten? Forgotten that hurt, and they're right back in your arms. They're a gift from God. In 1 John 4:19, we love God because he first loved us. Children reciprocate. They love their mom and dad, and they know when they're loved. Well, our Heavenly Father loves us. And just as a child is disciplined because they are loved, our Heavenly Father disciplines us because he loves us. Little children are honest. Their thought processes are pure. Honesty is refreshing. Children's thought processes are pure. In Romans 12, 17, Paul says, provide things honest in the sight of all men. Matthew 5, 8, Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That's another attribute of a child. I remember now, Jesus took these little guys and he told those 12 and any other adult that was listening, let me tell you something right now. You need to become like this little guy right here. All right? And in the account, when they brought babies to Jesus, and they were rebuking the parents, the disciples, get them out of here, man. Jesus is too busy to be bothered by. Get this crying child out of here. Wipe this kid's nose. Get him out of here, man. The master, he's got a busy schedule. Let me tell you something. When you look at the Greek, Jesus let him have it. He lit into those men. Don't you forbid these children to come to me. He gave them a tongue lashing. Now, you may not pick that up in just that casual reading, but in the original language, and that's fine. We don't know the original language. That's fine. But let me tell you what. It's one of the few times where Jesus let him have it with both barrels. I'm talking about his disciples, his apostles, and he did it. He said, leave them alone. Don't you stop them from coming to me. And he blessed them. Something else, too, besides being pure in their thought process, little children are not afraid. Listen to this. Little children are not afraid to ask questions. They don't worry if the question they just asked mom and dad is a stupid question. Once they ask mom and dad a question or someone else, they don't, oop, shouldn't have said anything, shouldn't have asked. They don't have that fear. They ask. Part of the child's innocence, I believe, is their hunger and thirst for knowledge. In Matthew 5:6, again on the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. So see, Jesus is talking to you and I, the adult children. Hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. In Matthew 7, Sermon on the Mount also, in verse 7 and 8, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find it. Knock and the door will be open. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and him who knocks it shall be opened. Do you see those few words that Jesus put out, whatever that was, to those little children, to the parents who heard it? Can you imagine how mom felt? Can you imagine how mom must have felt with Jesus holding her baby and blessing that baby? Or the mother and dad of that boy that Jesus took and stood and had the public's attention as he addressed me, saying, "Won't you just like this little guy here, like little whoever his name was, whatever his name was, you better be like him, or you're going to find it difficult to enter." No, that's a false doctrine I just said. Did you catch that? If you don't become converted, it's going to be tough to be a Christian. No, you will never enter the kingdom. So becoming like a little child, and we've got a lot of little kids here right now, a lot of little children here now, and as I mentioned, their innocence right now, if God graces them with a long life, they're going to grow out of that innocence. And then these scriptures are going to apply to them again. They're going to have to back up and become like the little children that are around them. They have a childlike faith. In 1 John 5:4, whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Children are faithful and trusting. You think about that. You think about how a child trusts and believes. I mentioned how much faith, if you will, or trust that daddy's going to catch you before you hit the floor and hurt yourself. Do we trust our Heavenly Father? Now, I don't suggest that we all go ahead and stand on the edge of the Grand Canyon and jump hoping God will catch us, because guess what? It's not going to happen. You're going to die. That's not what was being discussed by Jesus. But how many of us truly trust God? We worry about so many things. It's not just the ladies that have the attitude from time to time of Martha, but men have a attitude from time to time like Martha. We worry about a great many things. But if we seek the kingdom first, if we seek our Heavenly Father, He knows what we need. He'll provide for it. And just as a parent is displeased when their child misbehaves, our Heavenly Father, He's displeased. And I can't imagine our God just rolling up His shirt sleeves and saying, "I just can't believe what Lonnie just did. I just can't believe what John or Jane Doe just did. Why, I'm going to throw a lightning bolt and I'm going to burn him. I'm going to kill him right on the spot." No. I can imagine, if you will, my Heavenly Father sad, disappointed, because He loves me so much that he showed me how much he loved me by taking a man and stretching his hands apart and nailing him on a cross. And he wants that fellowship back with me, and he wants that fellowship back with all of us. And that's this idea of converted, of being changed. We need to have a childlike faith. A childlike faith isn't one that says, oh, whatever you believe, it's fine. A childlike faith isn't, well, you know what, we're all going to the same place. No, that's not a childlike faith. Oh, it doesn't matter what you do. If you heard Brother Drum this morning, those weren't words inspired by Drum. He just happened to be speaking to the church here about what God's word teaches. It does matter. It does matter. Concerning their souls, children are safe. Now, children will grow up from being safe. The little children that are in this room now, they're safe. As they get older and grow up and become accountable here before their Creator, they leave the safe stage, and now all of a sudden they need to become saved. For them to, if you will, be safe again, they've got to be saved. All right? So we need to remember that as children of God, and we talked last week in my lesson, did we not talk about examining ourselves? That it's an ongoing process? This conversion process, sometimes the word conversion is used and equates with baptism. So when a person rises out of the waters of baptism, his sins are forgiven, God's added him to the church, all right? He's to walk in newness of life. The word conversion is rightfully used in that context, but Jesus is carrying with it a broader picture. He's talking about a developmental, one develops. It's a process that is developed over a period of time. You and I arise out of the waters of baptism and our sins are forgiven, but we're not going to be like little children right away. Now, we really began the walk quite trusting like a little child. But those things that Jesus is getting on those disciples about, and you and I are his disciples, he's getting on you and I about it too, that involves a daily sacrifice, a daily examination, a daily commitment. John 10:9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and I will go in and out, and he'll find pasture. How does one enter Christ? We just talked about that. One obeys the gospel. He enters Christ. He enters into his death, and he's raised with him, symbolic of this. Think about this. As Jesus died and was entombed and rose on Sunday, we die to sin. We are entombed, immersed in the waters of baptism, and we're raised, resurrected, to walk in newness of life. There's a poster in the back that shows the enactment of the gospel. Jesus on a Friday being put to death in the tomb on rest of Friday, Saturday, coming out on the third day, Sunday morning, raised. We have that example right here in this, the same thing. Except whatever you do, if you feel the need to become baptized, don't wait till Friday to do it. If you want to be raised to walk in newness of life, don't wait till a Lord's Day to do it. The urgency of obeying the gospel obviously presses one now. So when you look at verses of the Bible that tell you and I to be like children, you can see that this commandment has nothing to do with becoming immature, but everything to do with learning the importance of relying on God. Psalms 11:4, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold. A little girl once said to her mom and dad, in sincerity and honesty, God sees everything, mom and dad. He has a whole lot of eyes. Yes, he does. Not only does he see everything, he misses nothing. He reads our thoughts. He knows what we've done. He knows what we need to do. He knows what we're going to be doing. He knows the words we've just said. the words that are coming out of our mouth as we speak and what we will be saying. He knows all. So he does, as that little innocent girl said. He's got a lot of eyes. He's watching everybody and everything. Shows the omniscience of God, that he's everywhere at once. Shows the knowledge of God, the omnipresence of God. He's everywhere at once, and his omniscience, that he knows all things. Job 34:21, for his eyes are on the ways of man, and he sees all his steps. God sees all of his steps. So characteristics of little children, let's quickly look at them again. They come into the world with nothing. They come into the world relying on others for their security and their needs. They begin to grow at birth. They delight in bringing happiness to their parents. They want to try to be like their mom, and they want to walk in their footsteps. They have pure expectations. They love because they are loved. They're honest. Their thought processes are pure. They're not afraid to ask questions. There's no stupid question to a child. But you know, when a child asks, and we all know about some of those questions a child asks, how come? Blah, 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 blah. How come? Blah, 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 blah. How come? It goes on and on. But you know what, though? They're listening. They're listening. And they will remember. They have trust. They have a childlike faith. Concerning their souls, little children's souls, they're safe. But as they grow older, they don't stay that way. Isn't that sad? We sometimes wish children could stay children, bring a lot of joy to us. But you know what? They grow up if God allows them to live, and they leave that safe condition, and all of a sudden, not Adam and Eve's original sin, but all of a sudden, they what? Make a choice, and they sin, and they fall short of the glory of God, and their spirit dies, in the sense that right now they need Jesus, just like mom and dad, and our children, as we've raised them, have our children. Do your children now, as they're being raised, do they see mom and dad and grandma and grandpa and aunt and uncle and maybe older siblings? Do they see in you and I a dependence upon God? I need God and Jesus. I need the blood of Christ. I want to be with Christians. Children are forgiving. They're dependent. They're happy and joyful. That time changes. But one thing's for sure, brothers and sisters, when those 12 disciples left Jesus' presence after that encounter, there was no doubt in their mind. They had been convinced, not only leave the children alone, that they're blessed in the sight of God, but you know what? The charge is given that I had better, and you had better, become like a little child. You know, when the Lord comes, it's going to be too late for a lot of mom and dads who've not become like little children. They're actual little children. I believe there will be little children alive when the Lord comes. Well, those little children, whoever and wherever they are, they're going to be ushered in to the bosom of God. They're safe. But mom and dad now, if they've not taken seriously the commandment to become converted, they're in trouble, eternal trouble. And those who have once perhaps been converted, but they've stopped growing, they've stopped becoming like a child, all of a sudden they've become stagnant, they've become void of growing, there's no desire, they've left their first love, whatever you want to say, they've apostatized, they're lost. Again, another example of the dozens and dozens of examples that show once saved, always saved, is spawned in the fires of hell, and it's a devil's doctrine. It's not biblical. Even out of these teachings and passages, I can clearly see that once saved, not always safe. Once saved, not always saved. Can't you? Sure you can. If you're here now and you are not a Christian, what is stopping you? If you are a person outside, if you are a man or woman here now, this very room, and you hear my voice, and you know you are outside of the love of God, not his mercy and grace, not outside of the love in the sense that he doesn't love you, but if you think for one moment that that love can replace humility and faithful obedience, you're mistaken. That's how we show our love back to God, is by humbling ourselves and with simple trusting faith obey him. If you're not a Christian, now what is stopping you? What is it? What's the deal? Oh, I'll have it tomorrow and one after that and a couple more at least. And then when those have expired, I'll wake up and I'll have a few more. Oh, I'll get around to it. Will you? Are you so sure? And what about you who are children of God now? Have you stopped working on being converted? Have you stopped becoming like a little child? Do you feel you've grown up and you don't need your Heavenly Father anymore? He don't really know what I need. What does he know? He just made me. I've heard people say that before. Well, what does God know about me? I'm thinking, well, if you've not continued to be converted, if you've not continued to grow, if you feel you've arrived, maybe you have. You've arrived at the doorstep, if you will, of being eternally lost. You've got to repent. You've got to be renewed in spirit. Our little children that are here now, they can teach us if we will listen and watch them. Because as little children know, sooner or later, fun and games ends. If they've got parents and grandparents that love them, sooner or later, if they're a little naughty and ornery, they're going to be they have a reckoning. Well, what about you and I? What about you and I being naughty? There'd be a reckoning for us too. So as little children are safe, they grow up, they need to be saved. You and I, we've been saved by the blood of Christ. Are we still striving to become like little children? Are we thinking in all these attributes and characteristics? And I'm sure there's 100 more. I hope this lesson has been helpful and edifying to some extent. If you're subject at this time, we stand ready. Inglewood stands ready to help you with your walk in the Lord, to help you in any way we can. She's a caring group of people, and that's because they know their Lord cares about them. We love each other here in this church because we know that Jesus and God love us. We love each other in this congregation because the truth is preached and taught here. If you're subject to the invitations, call in any way, please make it known. Come forward. The song is going to be led. If you're subject in any way, if you just need the prayers of this good church, make it known, please, by coming forward while we stand and sing the song selected. And thank you.